You have just tuned in to the Save Our Black Boys radio program, an informational program using Bible-based principles, research findings, and educational news with practical tips to help our black sons move from failing and mediocre grades to excellent grades. Now here's your host, Jacqueline Galloway Blake.
Sadly, our program today is dedicated to the memory of Mr. George Floyd, a recent victim of police brutality, and to all the other black men and women killed while in police custody. Listen to our guests, four African-American men from across the nation, a young millennial, a community activist, a grandfather, and a church pastor, express their reaction, recommendations, and requests in prayer.
Hello, my name is Elroy. I'm 27 years old. I am currently an associate producer for Christian Television Network in Silver Spring, Maryland. And what I'm concerned about this week is this. To be honest, I'm concerned about my life. Not just my life, but the lives of my other brothers and sisters. To me, it is absolutely ridiculous when you have to pray, not just for your regular safety and for you to have a great day, but for you to literally come back home alive. Alive because you want to ask for God's covering to protect you against the forces that are supposed to protect you. There's so much irony in that. It doesn't make sense. Why are my tax dollars going towards an institution that can freely take life away from me? It makes absolutely no sense. So my heart is hurt. The things that have happened to Alton Sterling, the things that have happened to Philando Castile, may they rest in peace. These brothers were doing nothing, absolutely nothing. They were being African American. Why can't we get the opportunity to just be African American? You know, a comedian on Dion Cole, I went to a concert from him not too long ago, and he had a joke talking about how he had to manage his blackness, that in the workplace he had to talk a certain way or look or act a certain way. And then when he was around his people, if you will, he could be a little bit more himself. Why do we have to live in a country where we have to manage our blackness, and not even just that, just manage our own safeties? It is hurting our communities to know that, again, institutions that are designed to protect and serve can freely take life away from African-American brothers and sisters. To me, it is a serious war going on. And it's tough because I'm just concerned about the black family. We, in these times, we have to bond together. This is what's concerning me. We have to coalesce. We have to realize that the only way that we can take on this establishment is, one, by uniting and unifying each other. My brothers and my sisters, please speak to each other in love. Demonstrate acts of kindness and love. This is the only way. Love wins. Love heals all. So this has been my concern. Martin Luther King Jr., said this: darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So I ask you, my brothers and my sisters, love each other and teach your sons and your daughters to love and respect each other. And maybe then, and only then, will we be able to send a clear message that we are just as equal as our lighter brothers and sisters. And this is what I want to pray for. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you cover this nation, God. I pray that you look out for each one of our brothers and sisters of all shades. But I pray in particular for my African American brothers and sisters tonight, that you walk with them, that you be salt and light and teach them how to be salt and light in this world. May they walk in confidence. May we walk in love, and may we spread love and respect to each individual. And most importantly, our own. We thank you, God, and we love you, is our prayer in your name. Amen.
What the world needs now,
tell me, love is what we need.
Love more, love is what we need. What the world needs now is love, boy. Love is what we need. Don't. Spread love.
Greetings. My name is Myron Kopp, via Michigan. I'm an activist in the community. I'm a business owner. And here to discuss the matter of George Floyd and the things that we could do to make our situation better. Let me begin by quoting Malcolm X. We are not fighting for integration, nor are we fighting for separation. We are fighting for the recognition of human beings as being human beings. And I want to talk about the importance of voting. Let's be honest, Trump won Michigan by a narrow margin of 0.23%. And the Detroit area, there was 277,000 blacks, people of color, that did not turn out to vote. And one of the things that we elect the prosecutors, we elect the judges, we elect the mayors, we elect the governors. We must exercise our power in voting. If we want to make a difference, if we want to help our people, stop our people from the reckless, just the killings, we elect the ones that hire them. So we must use our power. We must use our vote. Our vote matters. Just as Black Lives Matter, our votes matter, because we decide who goes into office. And we must learn to encourage ourselves. We must encourage ourselves to get out and be a part of the political process. 1 Samuel chapter 30. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. So no matter what your faith is, encourage yourself in your faith. And encouraging yourself in your faith, pray to your God. Pray to God that you make the right choice in your vote. We must vote. It's so important to vote. You know, sometimes we let our thoughts of a discouragement linger for too long in our minds. So you're thinking about what happened with George. It's been happening. You have to tell that discouragement your breakthrough is on its way. And your breakthrough can be in your vote. Your breakthrough is in your vote. You select. You make choices. It's easy to judge the mistake of others, but it's difficult to recognize your own. It's easy to make mistakes, but it's difficult to learn from them. So we have to grapple with the mistakes we made in the past. We must continue to vote because our life depends on it. So little Johnny in the third grade, he's dependent on you to vote. Because little Johnny could possibly grow to be another Trayvon Martin. And what did we do? How were we proactive? To be proactive to these situations, we must elect officials that respect us by our vote. So we can, a no vote is a vote that's not in your best interest. We must vote. We must stand together. We must vote. You know your best interest. I don't have to tell you who to vote for. You know your best interest. So we have to get out and vote. I'm with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders stated that refusing to back Biden against Trump is irresponsible. Refusing to vote is irresponsible to your community. We have to vote. Our lives depend on it. I love you all. I vote for you. You vote for me. That's my reason for voting. I love my children. Let's get out and vote. We want to make a difference. We make sure we vote. You make sure that you're heard. That is your voice. Your voice is in your vote. So we must get out and vote. I would like to thank you all. I would like to thank Miss Blake for having me on the show. I love you guys. And vote, because your life depends on it. Not just your life. Be responsible for your children's lives, because their life depends on your vote. God bless. I love you all. Take care. Goodbye.
Hello, my name is Clarence Brown. I'm a retired editor and corporate communication executive living in Southern California. I'm a husband and father of two adult children and a shamelessly proud bollock to my 8-year-old grandson, Mason, and my 4-year-old granddaughter, Sloane. I'm grateful for the use of this Save Our Sons platform to voice my perspectives as a grandfather who is gravely concerned about the social dilemma we find ourselves trapped in with no way out. And that dilemma is the safety of our Black boys and girls as it relates to the very law enforcement officers who are entrusted to protect them and us and keep us safe. I recently saw a meme where a white officer is seated at a lunch counter next to a little boy, a little Black boy. And he asked the boy, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And the little boy gazes upward at the officer and says, "I just want to be alive." Oh, that struck me. The kid's comment speaks volumes and causes me to reflect particularly on the fate of my own grandchildren. Knowing my son, a Black male, is going to have the talk with his children at a very young age, a very serious and painful conversation that I highly doubt white parents have to have with their children. Sadly, this has been our reality for centuries. My folks had the talk with me growing up in segregated Texas in the 50s, and their parents had the talk with them, and so on and so on. The tragic generational message was, you don't want to get shot. My grandparents, great-grandparents rather, probably added to that, you don't want to get lynched. It has been in our history of hurt and killing. The recent senseless, cold-blooded murder of Black men at the hands and now the knee of white police officers is more than shocking. Even private citizens now feel emboldened to gun us down as we're jogging around town, sitting in our car, or even lying in the privacy of our own beds. This is outright reprehensible and inhumane and unlawful, at least it should be. But somehow our unjust justice system finds a loophole to get the offenders off the hook. At best, they get fired or get off on probation with a firm reprimand. As an American, a Black American, a Black American Christian, and might I add, a Black American Christian parent and grandparent, I am absolutely outraged over this recurring nightmare. And what frustrates me most is that I feel totally helpless. We've marched, we've protested, we've decried the crimes on social media, we've prayed fervently. Mobs have vented their anger through destructive ways. Yet nothing has changed for the better. In fact, the situation has worsened. The assaults are bolder, crueler. I can't help asking, where is the broad-based coalition we need to confront the White House and demand justice in the murder of George Floyd, the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, and so many others? I'm on a personal campaign to light a fire under the Congressional Black Caucus and my local legislature to step forward boldly and not only condemn police brutality and citizen crimes and assaults, but urgently put effective measures in place to overhaul the justice system. Reforms, remedies, and consequences are desperately needed. Where are you, Black Caucus? Other than a press release, your voice has not been heard, much to my dismay. You absolutely have to step up and exert bold leadership now and save this and the next generation who you claim to represent and swore to protect. Where's the voice, the force, and the influence of the clergy of all faiths? Pastors were successful in pushing the president to reopen churches during the height of a pandemic. That same influence is critically needed at the very top to stop the senseless killing of innocent black people. And above all, I invoke the power of the Almighty God of justice to move in the most powerful and expeditious way to move on the heart of this country. Lord, I pray that you first convict our leaders and officers that we black people are first and foremost human, your treasured creation, and they need to respect that and value the precious life you gave us. Then convict them about what's wrong with the system, with police training. Lead them to enact needed reforms that treat people with respect and fairness. And finally, Lord, give us all a voice and to use it through every available platform to demand that justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. All this we ask in your name, I pray. Amen.
Forgive us, Lord, for passing by when children cry for bread. Forbid it, Lord, that justice lie in tatters cold and dead. Outside these walls run desperate streets where greed is law and life is cheap. We bar the doors, refuse to see or hear the words you say.
Convict us, Lord, we dance and laugh, ignoring those who weep. Correct us, Lord, our golden calf has lulled our hearts to sleep. The gap between the rich and poor grows ever wider, short and sure. There's racial hate, religious war, and wolves among the sheep. Hey, oh, oh, let justice roll like a river, let it roll.
Let justice roll like a river, let it roll.
Let justice roll like a river, let it roll.
Let justice roll.
Our hands to work for you. Enlist us, Lord, to serve nearby and cross the waters too. Your image bearers on the earth will never know how much they're worth unless we love and help them first and show the way to you.
Justice has no feet, it has wheels, empowered by the spirit, not horses, trampling over cosmic forces. Let's remove the detour signs and allow the righteousness of the gospel to find its way to the intersection of every ism that disrupts the beloved community of image bearers in this era of unrest and terror and anti-fill in the blank. Silence is the nail to the tire treads of justice, slowly draining life, but no patch will suffice. We'll change the whole thing so justice can stay on the move and humanity can get its groove back like Stella, and our hearts can beat as one as we sing a cappella. Good. And what does the Lord require of you but to justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. For you tithe mint and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you should have done without neglecting the other.
Mark A. McCleary. I'm an ordained pastor. I've pastored in Kansas, Missouri, New Jersey, Philadelphia, D.C., and now Northwest Baltimore County. I'm also the founding president of Mark McCleary Ministries, 501c3 certified. You can contact and learn a lot about me and this ministry, www.3mmm.org. I'm also educated and trained with a Doctor of Ministry degree in Congregational Renewal from Palmer Theological Seminary, and with a PhD in Conflict Analysis and Resolution from Nova Southeastern University. Well, I'm here to respond to an interview question. What is my reaction to the George Floyd murder? Well, it's rooted in a collage of incidences that most of us are aware of, comprising a collection of indictments against my country, the United States of America. The irony of this is that my analysis is it's a reverberation and a repetitive and tragic redo that's grounded in audio-visual technology that the era of strange fruit, so poignantly described by the soulful voice of Billie Holiday, didn't have. My first reaction is that I'm angry. Again, like Colin Kaepernick, I want to take a knee in prayer and exhale. Also, to get in running position, because these perpetual videos of unarmed black folk and of those sworn to protect United States of American citizens, but using excessive force on a generation of black folk who are just as tired, just as poor, and just as yearning to be free as the first immigrants who were responding to that adage, give me your tithe and your poor and your huddled masses. My second reaction is an overlapping reaction. I'm frustrated because my top level leadership is fumbling around in divisive discourse, seemingly emasculated with allegations of high crimes and misdemeanors, and still frivolously tweeting and pandering to elements that are really not for we the people, when our leadership should, my best estimation, be watchful for threats to our social and our health welfare, whether they be foreign or domestic. And then finally, because I know I don't have all day, my reaction is also that of motivation to relax, reflect, and to recommend the following as an addendum to the other poignant, profound, and practical ideas that have been and will be produced by those who are up front and those who are backstage for making America great for all of its citizens and its visitors. Number one, do not fight violence and inhumanity with a sword mentality, because everybody dies. Number two, look and listen for doable praxis concerning educating and marketing yourself and others without pulling the rug of opportunity from under anyone's feet. Three, network with folk and organizations near you that are egalitarian, embrace diversity and inclusion. And then number four, be patient, yet pit bull committed to pray, reflect, and negotiate this multidimensional phenomena for sake of learning, sharing, and doing justice in a relevant context. I'd like to close up my response and my reactions to the invite with this prayer. Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Nisi, and Yahweh Yare. Impute your peace, protection, and provisions to me, my host, the audience, future listeners, the United States of America, and around this world, in every life, home, neighborhood, state, and nation, until justice rolls down like waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream in the desert, till our wilderness is renovated to a garden of joy, and we live happily ever after. Amen.
You have been listening to the Save Our Black Boys radio program with your host, Jacqueline Galloway Blake. Save Our Black Boys is a radio program dedicated to educating, enlightening, and empowering parents to embrace lifestyle changes in the home that support success for African American boys in the school.